G'day and welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Giddy Up Podcast. My name is JT and I am joined by the 2014 discus champion, Don Elgin.
Oh, that's right, mate. What did I do in 2014? That was a comeback year, wasn't it?
Mate, Commonwealth Games.
Commonwealth Games, Glasgow. Oh, yes, mate, that was large. I loved it. I scraped in by the skin of my teeth, and it was a cracking place to go to. Glasgow, they know how to do it right over there.
Were a couple of drinks consumed maybe on that trip, Don?
There was quite a few drinks consumed, JT. I figure stuff it. If I'm going to drink them here, I should drink them there. Don't want to discriminate.
I'd expect nothing less. Now, we've got a cracking show lined up tonight. We've got a fantastic, 12 rounds with Donnie and JT with none other than
big.
Michael Roberts.
It's big, mate. I tell you what a character, what a story, what a life. And I tell you what, when we said, this is what I like, when we said to him, Robert, we've got 2 minutes. We got him in down to six.
Yeah.
So I think that's a fair effort.
That's a fair effort with Ro. He doesn't mind a chat and he's got lots of great stories. So we'll bring that to you a little bit later in the show. But let's get straight into our first section.
Weird, wonderful and wacky.
Oh, yeah. This is where we bring you some of the weird, wonderful and wacky news items from around the world. Donnie, there's a lot happening in the world this week.
JT, to be really honest, I had to come back this week because I couldn't remember what the stingers were because I knew we spent all our budget on the stingers and now I realise that we probably need to spend some more. But that's good. I like that one.
That was one of my favourites. What do you mean?
Now,
go for it.
JT, I am led to believe, now you know more about this because you're an animal lover, right?
Love animals.
But there's been some bad behaviour from none other than our national emblem, the emu.
It's true, Donnie. Up in the Northern Territory where lots of weird, wonderful things do happen on a consistent basis.
Where we get half of our information for this show for also, the witches.
Also true. There's a couple of emus. They actually have a name, Kevin and Carol. And
love it.
They've been banned from the Yarraka Hotel, Donnie.
I hope they're listening tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, they've actually had to put barricades up at the entrance and they've even put a sign up saying that emus aren't allowed. Now, look, I don't know if emus can read or not, so I don't know if they're going to ignore that whatsoever. But they're actually hand-raised emus and so they're actually quite friendly and it was all fun and games for a while, but the emus have started going inside the pub. And
what's all that?
Well, mate, they're just helping themselves once they're inside. They're literally going to the bar and taking the free nuts and you name it, running amok basically. So, yeah, out, booted, gone.
What's the world come to, mate? Seriously, when an emu can't just stroll into its local for a bit of nut action and a drink, the world's gone nuts.
I know, only in Australia. But speaking of the world going nuts, Donnie, something that's, I'm going to put it out to our listeners about how comfortable you would feel with this because, well, let's just say Tokyo, they're known for being up and trendy with all the new things and technology.
Lots of lights over there. Yeah.
Lots of lights and tech, and I love my tech. And, they've come up with a new concept on the transparent public toilet.
I turn it up. What, you get to go in there and drop a lot while people are watching.
See through, yeah. Well, there's two things, Don. They put a lot of research into this, though. They said there's two things people worry about when they go to a public toilet. One is cleanliness.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one's safety. And they thought, well, you know what, this is a way to fix that. What if we had clear glass around the toilet, because then you could see in, you could see that it's clean, and you could also see that there's no one in there. So problem solved.
Now, okay. First things first, I'll put my hand up and go, I'm all for a bit of public indecency, but I don't know if I want to be body sitting there for the world to check out my ways.
Well, Don, there is one little important detail that I missed out.
Oh, what is it?
Well, when the door closes, Don, when you walk in and the door closes, that see-through glass is no longer see-through.
JT, I shit you not. This is not new.
That technology's been around a while. They do it in showers if you've been to some nice fancy hotels. That's right. So what they've done is they've used that same technology in public toilets. I think it's bloody brilliant. So,
the difference at Docklands, JT, is this was inside a building. It wasn't out for bloody, wandering past sort of action.
Mm-hmm. So they've just taken it to that next level. So I actually think it's something that's going to catch on because if you are concerned about your safety, and let's face it, who wants a creep that's hiding in the toilets or, you know what's going on? So the fact that you can just see that it's nice and clean, see that there's no one there, I think it's fantastic for safety. And, look out, this could be the new thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, JT, when you go get one at your joint, I'll have a look at it. I'll test it out. I don't know that I'll be putting one into my house too soon.
Well, yeah, look, it's all great until things until the technology fails, isn't it? And suddenly you're sitting on the you're sitting on the toilet, and all of a sudden the windows that were frosted suddenly are clear. It'd be slightly embarrassing in the middle of a public park, wouldn't it?
What happens when shit goes wrong, like technical difficulties?
Yeah, that wouldn't be great. But of course, nothing would go wrong, Don. Otherwise, why would we have lots of YouTube videos? imagine the videos we're going to see that when it all goes to shit. Now, Donnie, speaking of living life on the edge, have you ever won 5.7 mil before?
Not to the best. Do you think I'd be sitting here having a chat with you, Joe? Of course I would.
I do, yes.
Probably not from my home office. It'd be my Packer. I'd be doing Packer style, sitting in the big boat, cutting a lap around the islands, mate.
Ah, nice. Well,
no, I haven't won. That's the answer to your question. I haven't won, JT.
Well, look, No, definitely not. If you're lucky enough to win 10th Lotto, shit, you'd be looking after that ticket, wouldn't you? I mean, that ticket is the difference between that piece of paper is the difference between you and a completely different lifestyle, isn't it?
Well, it stops you pretending you like people at work.
that does do that too. So
no more political correctness.
Well, how's this? Political correctness. Was a guy in Oregon in the USA had the ticket in his wallet for a month, had no idea he actually had won, and just had this $5.7 million ticket just in his wallet for a month, just walking around completely blasé.
JT, now I shit you not, I have actually kept tickets in my wallet, hoping that if I don't look, I might win. But every time I've checked them, I haven't. But did he know or just had no clue?
No, I had no idea. Just hadn't even checked it. So it was about a month later, he's like, oh, yeah, I've got this ticket. And then he checks it and turns out it was the winner of 5.7 mil.
And the machine melts. Oh, my God. Mate, how good would that be?
Mate, you just hit on a magic word, which is the perfect segue, Don, into our next topic, melt. Because there has been a new world record set for the most amount of ice cream scoops stacked on top of each other.
Well, you're an ice cream lover, so you'd know this. But if I was to stack them up, I'd be getting pretty happy with myself if I got about, I don't know, I've seen three. I reckon I could easily get about 10. What's the record, JT?
Well, you know, look, I'm with you, Don. I would have thought, you know, even three is a bit of a struggle because it starts to drip a little bit and you've got to, you know, get the tongue action going to try and keep on top of it, right?
But well, you're good like that, Ollie.
but can you imagine this, Don? The new world record is just a lazy 125 scoops.
Oh, turn it up.
125, Donnie. That's incredible.
What flavours?
Well, I don't know if the flavours necessarily came into the equation, Don, but there is a photo going around and it's obviously rather large. 125.
What stopped them going to 126? Did it melt or did they just spotty? Was it a midget? They couldn't get their arm up high enough. What happened?
That's what I love about you, Don. You think about things that others don't. I have no idea. I was quite content that they got 125. I never even thought of why they didn't get to 126. But now I want to know because you planted that bloody seed. So we'll have to do some more research and come back on that one next week.
It's time for some research or anything for research. Get you into research mode, JT. I'm here for you.
Don't I love it? Now, we've broken the news. Well, let's probably overstretching the truth that we broke the news, but there has certainly been a lot of announcements around name changes, Donnie, because people were getting offended.
Oh, no. What have you got for me, JT? Because this got me in a bit of a pickle one time.
I'm just sort of getting my finger warmed up here on the on the sensor button again. Well, Eskimo Pie, Don, we've already mentioned that Eskimo Pie was changing their name because it was offensive to Eskimos, of course.
Yes, yes, of course. Those Eskimos.
Well, they've come out.
Why are we calling them Eskimos if they're bloody offended, JT?
Well, they've come out with a new name, so no one's going to be offended anymore, Don. It is now going to be known as the Polar Pie.
The Polar Pie?
Yeah, you know, like polar, you know, North Pole, South Pole, polar.
So they're still going with the cold theme.
Well, that's right. Yeah, just got away from the Eskimos. So what do you reckon? Are they on a winner with the Polar Pie, Don?
Polar Pie, like who's it named after? Just a pole or the location or something?
Like, well, I'm guessing the location, Don, would have something to do with it. So now, of course, it's been a big year in the world. We've all heard, you know, ad nauseum around bloody COVID. Speculation that it was made in a laboratory, Don. Now, we don't know the truth, of course, but that's one of the rumours floating around, that it came out of the wet markets in China. Or it came out of a laboratory in China. Either way, it seems like it came from China. Well, I don't know about you, Don, but how's this for a bit of news that's just floating around? Now, microbes, we're talking just little single-cell organisms, right? They're sort of, you know, right down the bottom of the food chain, right? But they can hang around a while. And, well, how about this? There was microbes. This is pretty fascinating. There was some microbes that were found that were in dirt that are over 101.5 million years old. That is back before T-Rex. It's you know, continents have shifted, oceans have risen and fallen, great apes have emerged, humans have evolved. We're talking a long, long time ago. And
how they know? Like, did they look at the watch and go, "Oh, look, his watch stopped 100 and bloody million years ago"? How do they know?
Carbon dating, which is apparently very accurate. And anyway, what the news for this one, Don, is, and this is great for all these geek lovers out there and those that just are worried about a new world order. Well, Japan have just brought these single-celled organisms back to life.
Because COVID's not enough for the world.
Yeah.
Let's dig up some shit. Oh, no. Yeah.
So let's just revive a 101-million-year-old single-cell organism because we've got nothing better to do. What could go wrong?
Wow, this is going to be fun. Like, they were shitting themselves about planting those random seeds that got sent in the post. Like, but this is clearly no worries, mate. Have they not watched Jurassic Park, JT?
It's exactly right. So just when you think the world can't get any more batshit crazy, stuff like that happens. And I guess what's scary, to be honest, is that's the stuff we hear about. Can you imagine the stuff that's going on that we don't hear about?
That's usually what happens in rehearsals for this podcast. It's the stuff that people cannot hear about. That is, like, seriously, that's beyond. But you bring it back to life. Like, that's just, it's intriguing to go, how are they not dead? Like, who's is a paleontologist that finds this? Who actually digs this shit up?
Again, just, I love the way you go to another level, Don.
Anyway, what else you got, Jay? There's bound to be another stinger coming up.
Geek of the week.
Oh, yeah, it's time to get your geek on. Just when you thought that last news story couldn't be any geekier, well, I've got another one for you. This one seriously blew my mind. Ready, Donnie?
I'm all ears, mate.
Some insects and small birds see the world in slow motion.
How do you know?
Well, I just know because there's a new study that's just come out. And it was actually in the Animal Behavior Journal, and it's the article is actually the metabolic rate and body size linked with the perception of temporal information, if you really want the details. But basically what this study has found is that because smaller animals process information so quickly, they perceive time as though it was in slow motion. And the reverse is found in bigger animals, which process information more slowly. So to me, I'm trying to wrap my head around that. So it's basically saying something like the common housefly, which lives 15 to 30 days on average.
Too long. Yeah. Not in my joint.
They are processing, you know, because they're tiny little brains, and but they process information so quickly, which they think is a predatory behavior, that everything just slows down for them. So I'm wondering, like a normal day to us, that actually might seem like a year to a fly or 10 years. Who knows? It's just shifted the way you think about time. I think it's fascinating.
Is that how we get, like, dog years?
not quite, because there was no linkage there at all. But just
rapid. But you're saying in proportion, the bigger you are, the slower you see stuff.
That's what this study has found.
The smaller you are, the faster you see it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Righto. So, righto. So, you're telling me, JT, that if you got two people standing beside each other, one of them's a fatty, massive, like one of those really big suckers that you just see on the piss funny skits, and there's a little midgety one. The little midget is going to see things quicker than the big old fatty.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all, Donnie, because they're both still people. I think we're talking like species here and completely different mammals. So what we are saying is, yeah, a fly would see things very different to a human, or a bird would see something different to an elephant. You know, the extremes of the world where they're just processing information quicker. I think it's fascinating, honestly. My brain's still trying to wrap my head around that one, so hopefully...
What about those fish out the back there? Who's got them? If Oscar faster or the fish faster?
The fish would be faster.
Why don't you get Oscar in there, mate? He'll fix it.
He'll test it. Now, in the last bit of geeky news, for all you Apple lovers out there, set your alarm for 4 a.m. this coming Wednesday, because that is the announcement that you will hear, breaking news, the new iPhone 12 will be released. It will have 5G and,
ooh,
hot tip, and you heard from me here because no one else is saying it, it'll have a USB-C connection. So the lightning cable gone out, USB-C in for the iPhone.
JT, you are an Apple seed, so if anyone's going to know what's going on in the crop, in the plantation, you're the man.
Thanks, mate.
You reckon the seed charger, which is the way of the world now for Samsungs and Apple, they're going to the phones for seed?
Yep, correct.
Wow.
And the European
Union. What difference does that make, Jack?
Well, huge, because the European Union has decided that all electronics now have to have some consistent adapters, because it is just so wasteful of resources having different adapters for different appliances. So, European Union have already basically said you have to do it in Europe. There's no question it's going to be extended to the rest of the world. It doesn't make sense to create two different iPhones. And they've already done it on their iPads and laptops. So it's the next evolution. They're also not going to be shipping with a charger, apparently, and they won't be shipping with headphones.
Oh, that's nice. We'll give you a car, but no steering wheel or seats.
Well, the point is most people have probably already got some headphones already, and if you want, and they can keep the price point lower by not including them.
If they haven't, you know where they can get them?
TomM.com.au. Got some fantastic quality products. Exactly right. Now, Tom, we got some bloody ripping news.
What have we got, mate?
You bloody ripper. Well, how's this? A lady from Seaford Rise in the beautiful state of South Australia, she won $700,000, mate, in the lotto.
Happy days, mate. Is that like that other one I won a bit before?
5.7 mil, not quite, but 700 grand.
Same, but different.
Still be nice, wouldn't it? You'd love to get it in your pocket. But what's nice about this story, Don, is the numbers that she used to win.
What were they? What were they? Yeah, like, did she do, like, name them after the kids?
No, nothing like that.
Birth dates?
No, sort of a bit of a touch of a sad story, but her late mother unfortunately passed away. And she used to play the lotto. So the daughter took over her mum's numbers that she used to play each week. And they came through with the goods.
JT, how pissed would you be if you're the mum up there in heaven looking down? You've been playing these numbers all your life, and then boom, bloody daughter gets it.
Mate, she was looking after her daughter. I think it's bloody great.
Oh, I love it. Oh, do you reckon there's a bit of...
I reckon, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways, Donnie. And
tell you what, who do I know's up there, buddy? I might have to let them know me numbers or get a bit of like paper and just say, you point, I'll ticket.
Bloody great news, I thought. So, but it does raise that dilemma, doesn't it? Because, like, I know my parents, they play the lotto every week, and you know, you sort of go, well, at some point, odds are they'll probably come up. Do you keep sort of following on the family tradition, so to speak? There's been a few examples of this happening, or you just go, oh, mate, it's all bloody luck. It would make a piece of difference.
JT, I'm going to just give all of our listeners some hot mail, which is probably not going to be so hot after tonight, but here's the deal. If you want to win big, right, you've got to go to the ass end of the ticket, because traditionally people go, oh, just tick my kids' birth dates and my anniversary and the divorce date and all these lovely anniversaries, right, within the 1 to 30. So get outside of the 30, less people shopping there, bang, don't have to share the prize with nearly as many people.
There you go. There's a hot tip for everyone. Just for the record, universe, I'm happy to share. Just give me first division.
700, now, that is pretty good.
Better than a kick in the face, isn't it? Now, some of the other great news, of course, for everyone who's got kids in Victoria, Donnie.
How good is it? Well, it's not that we want to get rid of it. I should just steady that down. I don't want to, like, You know, we've been trying to give up drinking, but if ever there's been a day to celebrate, it's tomorrow.
Kids back to school. So all primary school children are finally going back to school tomorrow, and I think they're all pretty excited about seeing their friends again. And for the poor little preppies, it's probably like going back on their first day ever again. And the high school, aside from 11 and 12s, that do go back tomorrow, all the rest of the guys will be joining them in about 2 more weeks. So for all the parents out there that have done homeschooling, congratulations and enjoy a well-earned drink or 10 tomorrow.
Yeah, well done. Hats off to you all. Excellent effort. And I think a massive shout out must go to the teachers, because they're probably about to be introduced to a whole new vocabulary that the kids have picked up at home with mums and dads doing the teaching.
Absolutely.
Bizarre news stories.
That's bizarre, JT. Something big's coming.
That was a planned bizarre news story segment. So now, Donnie, of course, being relatively tall myself, everyone's like, oh, yeah. Geez, it must be great being tall, you know, blah, blah.
It's a male model thing. I haven't got it.
But, Donnie, there's now scientific proof that it's actually not great.
Oh, how so, JT?
Well, in South Africa, Donnie. Home of all
things. You were there last week.
Do you know this? Giraffes are being struck by lightning.
Because they're closer up.
Yeah, because they're bloody taller than everything else, and they're getting banged. They've found a couple of giraffes. This is not the first time this has happened where they've been struck by lightning, Don.
That's harsh, isn't it? Like, you get born, you're a giraffe, and you go, all right, mate, how cool is this to look down on everybody? Boom.
Yep.
Bloody zapped in the head. So one rainy day.
There you go. No further proof is needed. Being tall is bad for you.
Oh, no.
Now, speaking of going kaput, Donnie.
What's gone kaput now, mate? Surely there's not more gone kaput.
Well, you know, hard rubbish. You know, most places you either get it once a year from your council, you might be lucky enough where you can ring a couple of times and they'll come and collect your stuff. And you know, like put it out on the nature strip and people.
Amazing stuff goes out at hard rubbish, JT.
Isn't it?
It's only incredible. Good stuff, though. Only stuff that has been used and it's no longer needed in the house. So you put it out. I love hard rubbish. I've got couches and real cool stuff. What have you found?
That's right. It's a great time to clear out the house and get rid of all the stuff you don't need, Donnie. Well, in Toorak, Donnie, nice suburb in Melbourne, of course. Someone just happened to put out, and I'm trying to understand this, Donnie. There was a coffin.
Huh?
A coffin. Yep, empty, but a coffin.
Usually you put shit out that you've used. Oh, was it? What do you reckon someone's just doing a bit of home handyman stuff and then all of a sudden he's made up with the wife, so he said, well, won't need this next week. Is that what you're thinking? Or like, who's actually got coffins? Like, did they?
I literally can't think of a reason why, other than maybe that, you know, like, what is it, that place you love going to, Donnie, where they got all the bargains, that big joint near your place, Costco, and they sell coffins there, right?
Oh, you reckon
so maybe someone's bought one and just decided that maybe they don't need it after all and just stuff it, I'll just put it out in hard rubbish.
Maybe they're going home and they just looked at wrong size. Shit, they won't take this back. Out it goes. No refunds on coffins. Hey, you know when you put a fridge out, you got to take the lid off it. Did they take the lid off? Like, was that a rule?
Your coffins out? The coffin was open in the photo that I saw anyway. Evan just commented that it could be vampires, Donnie. Could have just been some new bedding arrangements that they'd got in.
Maybe it was bait. See who's going to pick it up. Yeah, there we go.
Okay,
this is what I like about our listeners. They're forward thinkers.
That's exactly right. Now, Don, something very rare was found in Canada during the week. Pretty exciting. A rare orange lobster.
A what?
A rare orange lobster.
Have you ever cooked a lobster, JT?
Ah, this is the thing though, Donnie. This one was alive.
Ooh.
One in 30 million lobsters are orange. Now, of course,
didn't have no spray paint on it, did it?
No. Now, of course, normally they're dark brown or grey. They do, of course, go orange when they're cooked. But this was a live lobster, and pleased to say that he was caught and off to the restaurant trade. But someone noticed it, and he's now got a home, and he's been adopted. He's now happily living in an aquarium. But yes, a rare orange lobster.
Wow, that's something to look out for, isn't it? Like, just next time you're shopping for your lobster, just keep an eye out. Wonder what it's worth.
Probably a lot, I reckon.
Might have been a simple, you know, that movie, the Mysterious Case of Benjamin Button. Mm. Like, he might have been cooked first. He's coming backwards.
The other way.
Yeah. Oh, strange things happen in Canada, JT.
Oh, Donnie, presidential update.
Mate, you know what I do like about your presidential updates?
The music?
Well, that too, when I can hear it, yes. But it's usually the marching that it comes with. So usually there's a bit of marching. But it's always entertaining. Now, what have you got for us?
Well, it's not really that entertaining, Don. It's just the news, of course, is that the debate that we reported on last week, which was honestly hours of endless entertainment listening to that debate.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to the second one, but it's been cancelled, Don.
Why?
Got done. Well, I don't want to do it. Trumpy said, stuff this, because he's caught COVID. It was suggested that it should be a virtual debate, as in online. And Trump's gone, bugger that, because then you can just turn the mic off whenever you like. And so I'm not playing, and it's now off.
Wow, there you go. Well, that's bloody devastating for all the debate watchers. And I know after the first one, if that wasn't like, you know, an attractive invitation to go to the second one, let's go and watch two old blokes yell their guts out at each other and talk over each other. Be like listening to this podcast sometimes.
Now, of course, there's a lot of people vying to be US President, Donnie. I believe you've got some inside word on just how many candidates there are.
JT, I've done a bit of digging. Have a stab, right? We know of Trumpy, old Bin Laden, what's his name, Biden?
Yep. Kanye, of course, we've reported
Kanye
on.
Kanye the rapper?
Yep, so there's at least three.
Three? Have a guess how many more?
I don't know, maybe a few more, some six, seven?
JT, there is 1,214.
Oh, what?
Yep, true story. And because, yeah, anyone can do this. You just, unless you're Kanye and you fill out your bloody papers late, but you just lodge. Most people go as independents, you see. Do you know who the last independent was to become a president of the United States?
I'm going to say Reagan.
Nah, before.
Carter.
Keep going.
I have no idea. Could be a long podcast.
There was some bloke. I'll tell you what, you won't guess it. What if I told you, where was Link?
It was number one.
Bingo.
Well, there you go. That probably makes
don't
sense.
Like your chances coming in as an independent.
Yeah.
So there it is, mate. There's 1,214 people having a crack at it. And we hear about the big Republicans, Democrats, and maybe some ridiculous independent, but seriously, it's, I don't like your chances if you're out there having a crack. But do it anyway because you can put it on your resume and say, I ran for president.
Presidential candidate. Exactly right. Now, of course, people just get sick of the elections, Donnie, and I love this. There's an accommodation booking website in the US that is helping voters escape from what they call election stress disorder. And they are legit giving people a chance to live under a rock for the week of the election. They're literally hiring out a man-made cave that's 50 feet below the surface. So like you go and rent a hotel room. This one is literally underground, so you don't have to listen to any of the bullshit going on during election week.
How bad would it be if Trumpy decided to book that out for the week that you want it and you had to put up with it?
Boom, boom.
Oh, that's bad. How many rooms has he got?
I don't know, Don. Don't ask me for technical details.
Is that like bloody buying a bit of land on the moon? Is that just like, are you kidding? Is there more marketing in that?
No. There was literally photos on the website and there's actually a number of them. So it's probably from all those doomsday people that, you know, think the world's going to
win. What are we going to do with this?
Yeah, that's right. We thought we could make some coin out of this. So,
you know what we could do? Go to Toorak, pick up that coffin and take it over and say, hey, if you really want to hide away for a while, here's how to do it.
Just lock yourself in here. Now, some strange news out of France, Don. You know, I love my pets, of course. I love my
cat.
Oh,
yes, you do. You're a pet lover.
Little Oscar made an appearance briefly before. Well, there was a French couple who wanted to buy a Savannah cat. Now, a Savannah cat is a cross between a domestic cat and an African serval, and they're perfectly legal in France to buy these cats.
An African gerbil, did you say?
No, serval, mate. Serval. And anyway, they bought this on an online ad. They're quite expensive. It was literally $9,000. These aren't cheap kittens going around. And
is this Gumtree?
No, it wasn't Gumtree. But anyway, it turns out there was a slight problem with the Savannah cat that they ordered.
What could possibly go wrong buying a cat off the internet, JT?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It turned out that it wasn't actually a Savannah cat, Don. They paid $9,000. They wanted a Savannah cat and, sorry, did not deliver.
Well, they get a dog.
No, just a Sumatran tiger.
Oh,
it was literally a tiger cub.
Was it? Shit, that's pretty good.
I thought, well, not bad value.
Like, who wouldn't want to own one of those until it got really hungry and big?
I think that's probably the point right there.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, 9 people end up getting arrested. It was actually a big wildlife sting, and thank God the people that were peddling that got caught, and they won't be doing any more. But and the French couple that ordered it were the ones that actually reported it and unraveled the whole thing. So there you go. Probably good.
Well, at least they sent it, because they could have just bloody kept their cash and, you know, sent them some kitty litter and said, suffering your chops. But they did it. They sent them something. That's good.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly right. I think there is a lot, obviously, some positives out of that, right? So now I want to go back to our segment last week. Tom, we had a fascinating story about Pepsi, if you remember, having the largest submarine or the largest military fleet. Yes. Right?
Well, a war chest.
Got time for this segment again.
Once upon a time.
Ah, well, Donnie, this week we thought we'd bring you two interesting stories from Once Upon a Time. And the first one just carries on from what we were talking about, cats.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell us about what cats are. What? Surely there's not a cat that's done bad again in the world. Surely not.
Well, they've had an interesting time, haven't they? I mean, they were loved by Egyptians. They were worshipped by Egyptians. But so Pope Gregory the Ninth, Donnie, he decided that cats were associated with devil worship. And he literally had all cats exterminated across Europe.
Oh, yeah, I know. What a shit pope. Well, what was he? Number 9.
Number 9. And, well, anyway, it went really well, because that was about the same time that the bubonic plague proliferated right across Europe. And it was believed that it was because the cats were eliminated that rat population was able to explode, and that's what carried the plague. So there you go. That's what you get for pissing off all the cats.
Well, I tell you, who's going to tell bloody the Pope, though? Like, that's a big call, isn't it? Because he's supposed to have the bit of contact upstairs. Oh, yeah, what do you reckon we get rid of, mate? Oh, let's wipe out the cats. Yeah, that turned out for him.
Didn't really go well. And here's an interesting bit of trivia, Don, and this one's a bit spooky.
Oh.
So if you get spooked easily.
Is this conspiracy or this a real deal, JT?
This is real deal, factual history, but one where you just scratch your head and you go, are you shitting me? Now, this is 14. I want to set the scene, Don. Remember the Titanic?
Yeah.
Had a bit of attention over the years.
Winslet, wasn't it? Or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yep, those two, yep. Now, 14 years before the Titanic sunk, Morgan Robertson wrote a novella, which is a short novel, called Futility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see if you can join the dots here, Donnie. The book Futility, it was about a large, unsinkable ship called Titan, about it hitting an iceberg in the North Atlantic.
Turn it up.
And it didn't have enough lifeboats for the thousands of the passengers on board.
Holy crap. Did they publish that book or is it a man or a woman who wrote that?
That book,
Morgan,
was published. Robert. It was published.
It was published.
The absolute fact, 14 years before the Titanic sunk. Now, of course, the Titanic sunk at 2:20 a.m. on the 15th of April in 1912, and 1,514 people lost their lives. And that book was written 14 years before it sunk.
If only the captain had read the book. What's he doing 14 years before they showed yourself?
I know, right? How incredible is that? Oh, look, I've always been fascinated with the Titanic. And I remember, this is probably 5 years ago, I was in Vegas and I was technically there for work. And
it's all work over there, no play.
And Vegas. I was literally judging. I bet you didn't know this existed. The World Contact Center Awards, and I was one of the judges. It was a great, nice gig. But I got to go and see a lot of shows and do a lot of stuff at Vegas. But the best thing by a country mile that I saw in Vegas was the Titanic exhibition. It was Absolutely. Where was that? Incredible. It was at the Luxor, and it was just incredible. It had the largest piece of the Titanic that had been recovered. So literally a side of the ship with the portals and stuff that had been recovered, and all these artifacts that had been brought up, like plates and people's shoes. And it was just absolutely incredible. I spent hours there and read every single bit of artifacts there. So I love the Titanic story, but how freaky a story is that?
JT, this is what I love about you and me. When I line us up, I go, oh, yeah, we're pretty similar. We're both males. I went to Vegas. We conceived our fourth child in Vegas, my beautiful first wife and I. And I spent most of my time in Vegas doing laybacks on a Coyote Ugly bar, and I didn't go anywhere near a bloody thing I had to read. So interesting. Mm. And I wasn't there to judge stuff. I was there to have a crack, and I bloody did it. Anyway. Yeah, that's an amazing story, JT.
Well,
you just keep bringing the goods.
Well, Donnie, the good thing is it's now your segment for your pick of the week, and I'm sure you've got a cracking story.
And we got some.
Donnie's pick of the week.
Oh, JT, now you being a male model, right? I, every time when I'm sitting opposite you in your bedroom and you're all got the cans on and you're ready just to get serious with your podcasting, I look and I see the muscles ripping out of you and I go, oh, geez, he's strong. Wonder what he's going to be like at the age of 62.
62? It's very specific, Tom.
Yes, you know why I wonder that, JT?
I have no idea.
Because I did a bit of digging this week so that I could come up with Don's pick of the week, and I found out that a 62-year-old former Marine by the name of Hoodsy, George Hood, holds the record for planking.
Planking? Like when you're on your elbows and keeping your core, a couple of years ago? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is like the fitness planking when you're on your elbows and you're keeping your core nice and strong.
The real deal, JT, real deal.
Oh, so you know, how long did you go for? What, half an hour or something?
Hey, I tell you what, you'd think that because I've done it like a 3-minute, and I was like, I was cooked, right?
Mate, even 3 minutes is good, though. So, yeah, well, yeah. Half an hour of tops?
Yeah,
it's the world record. JT.
Yes, he did do half an hour. Wait for this. Are you ready?
I'm ready. It can't be much longer.
JT, he did 8 hours, 15 minutes, and 15 seconds
of planking.
Planking.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, at 62, what else are you doing with your life? You're just fucking lying around. No, seriously, that is bloody amazing, mate. This guy's ripped to the shit out. It's like he's strong, looking like you. It's amazing. But I thought to myself, at 62, if I'm planking, don't fall for that. I've literally tripped over and cannot get back up. I've had a seizure and I'm stuck. I'm not deliberately planking. So it is amazing, mate. 8 hours, mate. That hats off. And you know what I like about it? He celebrated with 75 push-ups at the end. He goes, oh, God, this. I thought you were just showing off.
Good on him.
But Hoodsy.
Bloody hell.
Very impressive, mate. There you go. That's Don's file this week.
Mate, love it. Awesome. All right, we've got our very, very popular segment, Gen Z.
Oh, this was huge.
What's happening with Gen Z?
Now, JT, this would have been big, mate, because the kids, they're little whippersnappers. They come, they've got all the gadgets and the thinking, and they're able to multitask and do stuff. They would have just hit you with a number of things. What did they come up with?
Well, the one thing I love about Gen Z is they got lots of ideas.
Yeah.
And very little follow through. Got nothing, Don. Nothing.
Donuts.
Nothing.
You can't be serious.
No, I said, hey, guys, what do you got for me this week? Oh, yeah, nothing. Oh, yeah, I'll get back to nothing, Donnie, nothing. And I thought, you know what? That just sums up Gen Z right there for me.
Bloody so. Gen Z, mate, yeah.
And
stuff them. We might have to scrap their segment if they don't come good next week.
Now Donnie, I love because we are trying to interact with our viewers tonight, and I love Miranda's comment, which
that's
she just
it's funny. Posted. What is it?
Well, you know, how about your little planking, mate? Yeah, you know, well, what's his name? Hoodie, you know, 8 hours, Hoodie, 15 George minutes and 15 seconds. Well, she just sort of asked a pretty fair question saying, had rigor mortis set in?
You'd think it would, wouldn't you? Like, 8 hours after that, that's impressive, mate. That's quite funny. I've never given Miranda much credit for being funny, but she's very funny. And a former winner too. Geez, tradie, she's won shit. That's so
very, very.
That's good.
Very, very good. So, yeah, thanks for Gen Z. You've given us absolutely nothing.
You bloody mongrel.
That's
Donnie,
a cracking stinger, JT.
Down under. We've got to talk about all things Aussie. What have you got for us this week, Donnie?
Well, mate, normally we're going to celebrate, right? This is a segment of celebration of Australian All Things Body Amazing.
Love it.
But I want to celebrate or commemorate that this week, JT, is 50 years since the Westgate Bridge collapsed.
Yes.
And it was bloody amazing. Like 35 people died. Mm. And we don't want to celebrate this or gloss over, but we absolutely need to, I think, take a minute, because 50 years, that's a serious milestone. And actually, my father-in-law worked on the bridge, and I'm so bloody glad that he wasn't one of the people that lost his life. Mm-hmm. But an amazing thing to think that, you know, this was being built. And how about this, JT? When they were building the bridge, they were obviously, they connect the bridge, like they build from either side. Mm-hmm. When they got to one side was 11 centimetres higher than the other.
Oopsie.
So they up weights on that heavy side of, and they were using 8-ton weights to try and bring it down.
Oh, is that and what caused it?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
And what happened when they did this is they couldn't quite get the line perfect, and so they took a couple of the bolts out. And that was the thing that caused the issue. Like, it wasn't, you know, we'll just take that one out. But that's effectively what happened. So it was an engineer catastrophic stuff up that caused that problem. I mean, massive amount of learnings come from it, but seriously, 50 years ago, and of course today, this is what I really was impressed about, this is the numbers. That bridge was built for 40,000 vehicles to travel a day over it. Mm-hmm. It now carries over 160,000 vehicles a day.
Yep, it's incredible. And obviously, it was initially a three-lane bridge, and now it's four. They've added the extra lane on, which was an emergency lane, and they've widened it. They've put the suicide barriers on. It's had a fair bit of work done over the years, some reinforcement. And now, Donnie, of course, they're building the tunnel underneath as well, which is due – well, it's late, of course, but apparently it's about 2 years away, I think, before it opens as well, because Westgate can't handle the traffic even now.
But it's incredible, isn't it? So to think that 50 years ago they come up with a feat, and look, and honestly, this bridge is an amazing piece of architect, but one really sad part is that it come at a cost, and 35 lives were lost this time 50 years ago. So there you go, JT.
Well worth mentioning, mate, and thank you to everyone who worked on the bridge, and there's lots of people obviously still around today that worked on the bridge and would have lost friends and mates and family and that. So condolences to you guys, and hopefully that was a big wake-up call for the industry around safety standards, and we haven't really had a huge industrial accident ever again since then.
And hopefully we don't.
That's exactly right. Now, Donnie.
JT, this is a segment I like. It's life hacks. I've got a couple for you. This one served me really, really well in my athletic days. I'd go to a lot of functions and add functions. And I say this because we're starting to open the gates up to getting out of the house and getting back into life as we know it. So functions and parties and stuff. My nutritionist said to me, Don, before you go to a function, have a piece of bread with a bit of jam on it.
A bit of bread with jam on it.
And you know what it does, JT?
Fills you up.
Well, it does. It takes away the hunger. So you stop snacking at little bits of shit all day. Mm. And it stops you literally just, pigging out. So not being hungry when you go somewhere is a great thing. The other tip I've got for you, in the same sort of vein, is it'll stop you getting really, really shit-faced, is have every second drink that you consume a glass of water. So if you're drinking too many coffees at home and that's your go-to all the time, drink every second one. Make sure you match whatever you're drinking with a glass of water. So when you're on it, hitting the terps, then whack in a few more waters, and I'll tell you, you'll be better for it, JT. It'll help you lose a bit of weight too, that one.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Great tip for everyone out there. Now, Donnie, our next segment, 12 rounds with JT and Donnie. It's pretty exciting.
This is bloody good, mate. This guy here can go. Now, Robbo, our main man Robbo, can talk. So we don't need to talk too much about this, JT. We'll let the 12 rounds take care of itself. Have you got it there?
No, I do have it here. Now, I just want to give everyone a heads up. This actually goes literally for 6 minutes, and we've elected to play it a lot because we did find it quite entertaining, and we'll tell you a little bit more about a longer interview that we've done with Robbo as well. But here's 6 minutes of Robbo going 12 rounds with JT and Dono. We recorded this a couple of days ago.
This week, we're joined by former AFL superstar, model, media personality, husband, father, and all-round good bloke, Michael Roberts. Welcome, Robbo.
Wow. Love the intro, JT. Loved it. Donnie?
Mate, it's fitting for a superstar. Now, Robbo, you had an awesome career with the Saints. How hard is it not to be biased when you're at a Saints game commentating or boundary riding?
So bloody difficult, mate. You know, it's red, white, and black. Seriously. And even if they play the Tigers, which I played for as well, bled down the yellow sash, I still got to look at the red, white, and black, mate, for sure. Really difficult. Brilliant.
Now, mate, you wear many hats, from a footy player, from model, MC, commentator, father, husband, as we said. But what do you reckon you're best known for?
Fridge stroking, I reckon. I am the world's best fridge stroker on Sale of the Century. I did 20 years of TV. I'm still doing radio after 22 years and still known as the world's best fridge stroker on Sale.
Robbo, what was harder to prepare for, TV or footy?
TV, the makeup and, you know, the whole, you know, get the shirt right, the suit right, the lights right. Footy, you just ran down the race and get it on.
Robbo, if you could change one body part, what would it be?
Bit taller. Just under 6 foot. Love to have played at 6'2", 6'3". So just a bit taller. Everything else, 10 out of 10.
You could say that when you got two legs, but I don't like it. Robbo, think back 30 years, it's footy finals time, your wife is due, what do you do? Do you go and play finals or do you go to the birth of your child?
That's easy. Go and play, mate. Go and play. Whether it's the first or the sixth, I'd be playing in a final. I'm old school, just like my old man, so unfortunately for the girls, I would say, okay, there's the suitcase, I'm off, I've got to play. And my wife would tell me to go and play as well.
Oh, she was going to tell you to go and something else.
Speaking of your wife, Robbo, when you're going out for a night on the town, who takes longer to get ready, you or the missus?
Oh, she does. I'm just in the shower, shake her hair, and I'm done, mate. I'm a pair of board shorts. Completely done. No, that's a lie. That is a complete lie.
Robbo, we know that you in the MC commentator space, you've interviewed some massive names in your time. Who's the biggest flog?
The biggest flog? Yeah. Ooh, on the spot. Wowee. The biggest flog. Don't think I've got one. Seriously.
I thought you were going to say John Elgin.
I cannot put my hand on someone who's the biggest flog because they're all great in their own way.
Sitting on the fence, Robbo. You're known for your great research when you're either commentating or emceeing. So I've got a question for you. How many kicks did you get in your AFL career?
Can't tell you. I know I got the most free kicks from the umpires one year. Four. So they looked after me, the umpires, always had them. Trevor Barker and I always brought them in for a drink after the game. I reckon that had something to do with it.
I reckon it might have.
Well played. Hey, Robbo, for the record, it was 1,258 you kicked, mate, so that's off top of my head. Yeah, there you go. You know now.
That's little poisoning.
Mate, you nailed it in footy, but is there another sport you wish you, if you didn't play footy, you would have played and nailed?
I would have concentrated on surfing. If I didn't play footy, I would have got in the water. And if I didn't play league football, I would have followed the sun and the snow. So they would be my two true loves.
Okay. Now, Michael, when you were modelling on Sale of the Century, is it true that you used to smash out a few push-ups in between the gift shops?
I wouldn't say push-ups, but I used to twist a towel out the back, you know, just
there we
to
go.
Give it that little, yeah, just a little bit of towel twisting.
Kick to the tray, right there, yeah, JT.
Always oiled up before you walked on set, and used to oil up before I actually ran in down the race too. So,
never in doubt, Robbo. Last one from me. You've worked with the great Bruce McAvaney. Have you ever been tempted to belt out "Special"?
No, that's his catch cry for sure. Bruce's catch cry, "Special," that's his. He can have that.
Okay,
he's a beautiful man too.
Robbo, speaking of beautiful men, people often get told, "Oh, well, you've got a good head for radio." But being a male model yourself, do you feel a bit sorry for your less attractive co-hosts?
Yeah, I feel sorry for you blokes. look, whatever you dealt with, you got to deal with. That's what I look at it. So, look, when I ran out, they used to punch the suitcase out of me. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But that's what mum and dad gave me, and so be it.
It looks like you came out of it just fine, Robbo. So, mate, thank you very much for going 12 rounds with JT and Don.
There we go, Donnie.
Mate, how good was that, mate? I tell you what, wasn't Robbo just so giving of his time? Bloody, his stories are amazing, and that's why what we did is we spoke with Robbo. We've got a feature interview that we'll play. When will we play it, JT?
That'll come out Wednesday night. So we've got 51 minutes interview with Robbo where we cover a whole bunch of stuff around his footy career, his media career, and as you can tell, he's awesome at telling some stories. So it's well worth a listen if you enjoy footy and just hearing about the good old days and I guess learning a lot about Robbo because, you know, all I'd known of him is probably what most people do is what you see on Sale of the Century and you hear him on radio. But it was nice to learn a bit about the guy behind all that as well.
Yeah, mate, I tell you what, if you're interested in a bloke with a good yarn, tune in Wednesday. Yeah, how do we do it, JT? We just put that out as a podcast? We're going to have it on here, or what's the story?
Yeah, it'll just be released on our Facebook page. So just make sure you like the Giddy Up page. If you don't already, a lot of people listen in the group, but make sure you head over to our Facebook page, just called Giddy Up Podcast, and like the page. And that way you'll get an alert every time we release a new podcast.
Now, Donnie. Excellent. And of course,
sorry, mate. Yep.
Go. The people that are on the page, JT, they also get a chance to nominate and put some stuff in as well, don't they? So we interact with the page like we're doing tonight. We've already put the call out to the punters to say, hey, we are going to nominate a dickhead of the week. And so we're hoping to see a few of those come through tonight because we'll certainly give them a shout out soon. And that was for a chance to win a tradie voucher too. So I would make sure if you had one, send it through right about now.
Absolutely. Now, Donnie, I think you've got a hero of the week for us.
Oh, JT, I love an underdog. And I tell you what, little Inga Swiatek, it's...
Can you say that again for me, Donnie?
How'd I go?
I don't know. Say it again. Let's just...
Inga Swiatek. I say shit quick?
Yeah, if you say it quick enough, that'll do. All right.
Yeah, well, she's a little Polish number, right?
Yep.
Little legend, unbelievable legend. Just won the chicks' Grand Slam singles over at the Frog Eaters over in French country. And how good is that, mate? It was number 11. Let me have a look at it. It was the ninth first-time major champion in the past 14 Grand Slams. So if you're thinking about, oh, geez, could I ever be the best at something? This is the year for upsets. Like, it's bloody amazing. So I was so rapt to hear that. I didn't start and watch the game, but 6-4, 6-1, it's a convincing little win. And I tell you what, when you've got someone who's up against it and they come out on top, that's a bloody hero to me.
Yeah, it's a good effort. First Polish person ever to win a Grand Slam. Ever. So fantastic for the country. And she's like 19 years old. She did not drop a set in the whole tournament. So clearly she was on from the word go. So yeah, congratulations. Good nomination, Donnie.
Yep. Thank you, mate. Only looking out for the genuine legends.
The pro tip of the week.
Now, Don, last week we had a fantastic money tip from the Money Whisperer, and I believe, Donnie, you might have another one for us this week.
Mate, I've got my notepad ready to go because last week's was bloody great, and I reckon you'll have a cracker for me this week.
G'day, guys. It's the Finance Whisperer, and this week I'm going to be talking about Homeland. I believe it's reached the stage in the home loan interest rate cycle where the fixed rate options are becoming very attractive. You can lock in your home loan principal and interest for sort of 2.19, 2.29 for 2 or 3 years. And while interest rates, my variable rates may go down again, they're probably unlikely to get below that level. And given that we're likely to have a bounce in the property market, these rates are going to appear very attractive for mine. So certainly get in touch with your bank and see what they're prepared to offer for your current loan. Or if you're interested in refinance, you can speak to your broker, and there are many banks offering sort of $2,000 to $4,000 in refinance rebates if you go through with the refinance process. So have a word to your broker if you're interested in that. All right, guys, talk to you next week. Cheers.
How good is it, JT, that we've got our own pro finance guru on tap to give all of our listeners the info they need to get ahead in life? I bloody love it.
Bloody great tip. So hope everyone gets on it. As you said,
2.19.
I know. Not bad at all. Dickhead of the week.
You suck.
All right. Time for our dickhead of the week, mate.
And well, we went out to the people, right?
We did.
And a little Janine, she's come in and said, Dylan Alcott.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. Dickhead of the week.
I'm just looking at the comments and that's what she's got.
I think she's just saying a hero of the week, Donnie, that we could have given it a bit of a mention because we mentioned the Polish girl winning. But, of course, Dylan
Dylan wins everything. Stuff him. No. When I see him get out and walk, he'll be a hero. No. Anyway, that's fair effort, though. 11, that's pretty handy. That's 11 titles. That's good.
Just slightly. Not a bad effort at all, I would have thought. Fantastic. No, we know, Janine. We know you were nominating for a hero, not for the dickhead. So, now, we got a couple of nominations, Donnie, and, basically what it boils down to is – Dan Andrews or Trump. One of them is going to take out Dickhead of the Week.
I didn't split that.
It's tough. And
it's like splitting apples. Adams.
Something like that. Pretty tough. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking more of the local feel because it's an Australian show, Donnie. But where are you at, mate?
Oh, well.
You have the deciding vote because it's your podcast.
Well, I was hoping to have Dan Andrews on here one day. I don't know that this is going to help our cause.
Probably not.
No, well, let's give it to him. He hasn't won much lately. So.
Oh. All right, there it is. Congratulations to Nant. No favouritism there whatsoever.
I'll put up a photo of me and Dan.
Nant has cleaned up, so enjoy your $150 training voucher. Now, Donnie, this is something that I kind of like this segment. Oh, it's our Media Watch segment, Donnie. We've got a rogue cat going nuts at the moment. I'm trying to seriously
make sure Oscar doesn't push the stop.
That's exactly
record
what
button,
he was
JT.
Gonna do. He just Oscar, what are you doing? So we'd like to bring you a funny joke from a clip from around the world. Now, just to set the scene, this one's from WBZ Morning News. Now we've got two presenters. We've got Chris McKinnon, who's a male. And Kate right. Merrill, who's a female. Now, pretty standard for your breakfast radio, I would have thought, male-female co-host. And, Don, sometimes they've got a lot of stuff to remember and they have teleprompters that sort of just give them a bit of a hand to what to say. And, I mean, what could go wrong, Don?
Good morning to you. It is 5 o'clock right now on your Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Kate Merrill. I'm Chris McKinnon.
Oh, my God. Oops.
I am Kate Merrill. That is Chris McKinnon, and it is a Wednesday, Daniel.
Whoopsie. Got his own name wrong, Donnie.
Oh, dear. But that's a bloody teleprompter thing. That's what, you don't make no mistakes at all if you don't follow the script, JT.
Bloody nice stuff up, I thought, that one. JT's Pick of the Week. Oh, now, Donnie, of course, you brought us the amazing story of what's his name? The planking the dude. That's an 8 hours world record. Well, I want to bring to you a story about a rat, Don.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Now, look, rats, it's fair to say they get a bad rap, don't they? I mean.
Well, they had that bloody plague before.
Well, that's right. There's not a lot of people that are. Oscar's seriously running amok. There's a lot of people that just don't rate rats. But I want to give a shout out. That's Oscar just knocking shit everywhere.
You're
going to be trouble, I tell you.
Oscar don't like bloody rats either.
Yeah, he doesn't, I tell you. Look at him. Now he's off. There we go. But, this rat, Donnie, it's received a gold medal award. Huh? Yeah, gold medal award from the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals, PDSA, on Friday. It's a British veterinary charity. And, well, the rat's name is Magawa. And it received a small blue collar and a midi gold medal for its fantastic service. And how's this? This is a rodent rat. And it got this gold medal because what it does is it sniffs out unexploded landmines in Cambodia.
So hats off. So they hats off to the rat.
It, yep. They release it out into the field and it goes and finds the landmines and lets the people know. And so that way they can obviously go in and detonate them. And so it saved countless lives in Cambodia. And so it was rewarded with the gold medal work. So how awesome's that?
It's, well, they used to do that with dogs, JT, except the dogs were bringing the mines back in. So bloody rats are a lot smarter. They leave them where they go.
That's bloody awesome.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that's no, good. That's what well I thought. Done,
yeah,
rat.
Yeah, bloody effort. Good effort, rat.
Dad joke of the week.
JT, I just have to check. Should we putting out a service announcement to the kiddies to go and get some milk?
No, this is very safe, Donnie. This is almost almost kid-friendly. And I say almost. Parental discretion advised. But it's really, it's not that bad. All right. So, now, Donnie, we're carrying on for the Titanic theme a little bit here. So, one day a man decides to retire and he's booked himself on a beautiful Caribbean cruise and he's proceeded to have the time of his life, as you do. Remember those days when you'd go on cruise ships? Oh, yeah. And everything was just going beautifully, Donnie, until the ship sank.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
That's not ideal.
Not the best outcome he was looking for. So anyway, he soon found himself on an island. There was no other people, no supplies, just nothing. The only thing was just bananas and coconuts. So after about 4 months, he's lying on the beach one day when the most gorgeous woman he's ever seen rose up to the shore. He's just in disbelief. He's like, well, where did you come from? How did you get here?
Giddy up.
Yeah, and she just replies, well, I rowed over from the other side of the island where I landed when my cruise ship sank. And he's like, wow, that's amazing. He goes, man, you were really lucky to have a rowboat wash up with you. And she's like, oh, this thing, says the woman. She goes, no, I made the boat out of some raw material I found on the island. The oars were whittled from gum tree branches. I wove the bottom from the palm tree branches and the sides and the stern came from a eucalyptus tree. The guy's just going, bloody hell, that's impressive. But where did you get the tools? She's like, oh, that wasn't a problem at all. She said, on the south side of an island, there was a very unusual stratum of alluvial rock that's exposed. And I found that if I fired it to a certain temperature in my kiln, it melted into ductile iron and I used that to make the tools and used the tools to make the hardware. And the guy's just stunned. I know, right? And she goes, look, let's row over to my place. He says, I'll give you a tour. So after a short time rowing, she soon docks the boat at a small wharf, and as the man looks to shore, he nearly falls off the boat. Before him is this long stone walk leading to a cabin and a treehouse.
Hello.
Oh, and so while the woman ties up the rowboat with an expertly woven hemp rope, the man can only stare dumbstruck. And as they walk into the house, she just says casually, oh, look, it's not much, but I call it home. Please sit down. Would you like a drink? And he's like, no, thanks. He goes, he's still dazed. He goes, I just can't take another drop of coconut juice. She's like, coconut juice? No, it's not coconut juice. I've got still fresh water. She said, would you like me to make you a tropical spritz? And this guy, he's trying to hide his continued amazement. So he goes, yeah, that'd be great. So he accepts the drink and they sit down on the couch and they start chatting. And after they exchange their individual stories, the woman announces, I'm just going to slip into something more comfortable. Would you like to take a shower and shave? There's a razor in the bathroom cabinet upstairs. And no longer questioning anything because this lady's clearly a miracle worker, he just goes upstairs to the bathroom and there in the cabinet, sure enough, there's a cabinet and there's a razor made from a piece of tortoise bone. Two shells honed to a hollow ground edge, fastened torn to its end, and inside there's a swivel mechanism. And he's just going, this woman is just absolutely amazing. He goes, I wonder what bloody hell's next, right?
So do I.
Yeah, I know. Right? So this is heading. So anyway, when he returns, she greets him wearing nothing. but small flowers on tiny vines, each strategically positioned, and she smelt just faintly of beautiful gardenias. And she beckons for him to sit down next to her. And she says, well, tell me, slithering a bit closer to him. We've both been out here for many months. She goes, you must have been really lonely. He goes, when was the last time you played around? As she stares into his eyes. And he's like, he can't believe what he's hearing. He's like, you mean, he swallows excitedly, his tears start to form in his eyes. He goes, you mean you built a golf course too?
Oh, no. Oh, the poor fella.
Ah, oh, Donnie, there we go. What do you reckon of that one?
Oh, clearly you hadn't been out there long enough. That's
that was very silly. Now, Donnie, we love to leave our people with the final fling, Don. It's just a final piece of advice that we love to leave our listeners to make sure they have a good week ahead. And if I can find the stinger, I'll even play it.
JT, very good. And to finish this week, we're going to declutter. Declutter our house, but importantly, declutter our minds. There's been a lot going on, consumed a whole lot of news, a whole lot of everything. The best way I find to declutter, JT, is to meditate. And that doesn't come easy for a lot of people because you're sitting there going, shit, you know what? I feel like I'm wasting time or I'm distracted or whatever. It's okay. A really good app to help you with that is an app called Headspace. And it's simple. They'll talk you through it. And it just gives you a chance, really, just to clear your mind. The more you clear your mind, the more space there is for greater thinking, greater creativity, and I highly recommend it, JT. So in a time of turmoil, the great advice I have is to take some time for yourself to meditate and declutter.
Fantastic tip, Donny. What was that app called again?
It's called Headspace.
Fantastic. There we go. Get on board. Now, of course, we did say that we're going to announce a prize for the best comments, Donny, and I've been feverishly, I can't speak English, looking through all the comments trying to go which one I thought would be a winner. Have you got one, Donnie, at all? Have you had a look?
I was thinking about it tonight, JT. I thought, wouldn't it be good if we just sat down and just had this conversation over some nice pizza and actually talked through who we should, but instead you put us under the pump and we've got to come up with something very quickly. And I must admit, I did have a bit of a laugh at a couple there. There was one there from Miranda. I thought the "Oi, Donnie" was a good comment when I was taking the piss out of her for not being funny. That was good. I thought that was good.
Not bad, not bad. my money was on Paul Watt when we were talking about the lobster, about the very rare lobster that was orange, of course, and he's going, maybe it's running a fever because, you know, you get hot when you're running a fever. That was very, very clever.
That is clever. That's good. So, see, that's more funny shit. Yeah. That's probably what's going to win it, you know, someone who's a bit funny. We like that. So that's good.
Well, we do love that. And we also love that Ben Scott, according to Facebook, has got in first with pizza, Donnie.
Oh, that's right. That was a code word for was it Tom M?
TomM.com.au will be supplying a fantastic prize, thanks to Daniel Adamick, who's listening. So, Ben Scott, congratulations, mate. You got in first, according to Facebook, for the code word. And the prize for the best comments, Donnie, are we going with?
Just got to go to the Lobster Boy.
Lobster, Paul Watt, congratulations. Paul Watt. You have won our... what else you won? You won Tom M as well. And, of course, earlier, Nant was the winner of $150 tradie.com.au voucher. Donnie, it's been a big show, mate.
Mate, well done, JT. Take two.
Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Giddy up.